We return to Whanganui to find out more about the $34 million renovation and extension project for the historic Sargent Art Gallery. The Oamaru stone building's been emptied ahead of the earthquake strengthening, but a home had to be found for the 8,000-strong collection, and so the gallery could have a presence in the city over the next few years. Well, the council found a building in the city centre that's both a storage space and temporary gallery called the Sargent on the Quay. Before we take you there, here's Whanganui's Mayor Hamish McDougall on why the council's prepared to put ratepayers' money into the expensive renovation and extension project.
Really, when you come down to it, we've got a magnificent building, which is about 5% of new building standards. So we had to earthquake strengthen it no matter what. Otherwise, it would just be a pile of Oamaru stone. So that meant there was going to be some ratepayer involvement, even just to retain the building we have, which is a beautiful building and obviously heritage listed. Of course, you've got a collection as well. So the Sargent has kind of two components, the collection and the building itself. And so we wanted to be able to show as much of the collection as possible, also have a space which can accommodate travelling exhibitions and the like. So the ratepayer, who has contributed some money through the earthquake strengthening levy that we had, it seems relevant and prudent expenditure of money to put it not just to strengthen what we currently have, but to put it as part of the fundraising for the entirety of an expansion north and a part of what is essentially a partnership between local central government and iwi. So it's worked out well, and I think it becomes a real local, but I'd say national, building and collection, and will join up nicely with New Plymouth, I think, in what could be a great arts trail.
Are you confident of having the support of the majority of ratepayers for the strong support that the council is giving this project?
I think if they looked at the options of leaving it to fall into a pile of stones or not, then absolutely. Everybody looks at that as a key icon in the town. It's almost always put in promotional material.
Well, it's an iconic building and beautiful.
Absolutely amazing. And so that, combined with what is a magnificent collection, probably the premier photographic collection in New Zealand, as well as a really diverse range of artwork from all around the world, I think it becomes a really, really, very significant something to travel to see, which has obviously economic benefits along the line. So it's not just preserving what we have, it's also enhancing it to maybe attract a few tourists off Route 1, which seems to be, mainly seismic and, you go to Rotorua and Taupo and then you head down to the South Island. I'm thinking, also don't forget places like Whanganui with this magnificent gallery and with our glass art finesse and places like New Plymouth with Len Lai. I think the consanguinity between New Plymouth and Whanganui is really, really great.
There's no question that particularly in the first few years there will be money back to the region when the Sargent opens and all the interest in that. But all these figures about their financial contribution back to the region, is that important to you, to the council, to the ratepayers?
Oh, absolutely, because it offsets the expenditure now. It offsets their rates demand somewhat. Obviously, just putting that money into constructing a magnificent edifice will mean that there's a multiplier effect of that initial expenditure for the construction. But there's also a considerable economic development benefit in bringing tourists. I mean, we're 2 hours away from Wellington. I can see a significant weekend up here going through the little galleries along Taupo Quay and then heading up the hill to Wharearehua.
I just had a look at the Opera House, which is stunningly beautiful. Is that earthquake?
It's all been done, so it's magnificently done. And you probably wouldn't have noticed that it's been done, sensitively. We're very proud of the Opera House. And obviously we have the New Zealand Opera Week every January. And so it's a great venue.
Well, that architecture is really quite remarkable here, going around and having a look at the buildings. Those heritage buildings of the Opera House and the Sargent Gallery alone must be two of the nation's architectural treasures, actually.
Yes, absolutely. And I think they're the two ones that also have a kind of move the spirit among Whanganui citizens. When you drive down St Hill Street and see the Opera House, you think, oh, wow, that's here. But obviously there are a lot of other very, very important buildings that, that create a whole resonance of being a pre-1930s special site. The Sargent Gallery is, obviously you can't enter it at the moment because of its earthquake-prone nature, but inside it's absolutely magnificent, and this will only be enhanced by the reasonably sensitive addition on the back.
It's not so many years ago, really, that there was a different view towards the Sargent, and it was before your time, of course, but I remember talking to Michael Laws, and he was taking items, putting them in public buildings around the city, a very different kind of conversation around this. Is your council united behind you? Because you, I know you feel very strongly about the Sargent's future.
Well, I can tell you that the vote to proceed, even though there's a slight shortfall currently, but it's anticipated that that will be met as donors realise that there is a something going on, it's not pie in the sky, and that it won't be reversed. It was unanimous for all but one small, and it was a technicality that one person voted against it, so a unanimous council, which is great because, you know, around the table we don't, you know, there's one councillor who claims never to have been to the library or the gallery. He still supported it because he can see the benefit of it for Whanganui.
There's such a quick turnaround, but a lot of work gone into it too, and not just within the council. Nicola, the fundraising was saying that, you know, that really for the last few years they put a lot of effort into correcting misinformation and sharing stories and getting people back on side. People writing angry letters to the editor were invited to the gallery to look around. I mean, that's a lot of effort, not only in fundraising but also spreading the word, and hearts and minds have to be behind a project like this, don't they?
Yeah, 100%. And also, I mean, the charge that I think a previous mayor was saying that art galleries are innately elitist, I think that the gallery directors and curators have successfully opened up the gallery to the public. There was a magnificent photographic exhibition of people with tattoos at the New Sargent, and hundreds of people came through to see themselves and their friends, and it was beautiful art. But what that did is allow people who've never been into the gallery to come in and actually own the space themselves. The same a few years ago with an exhibition of guitars. So it's not just oil and a bit of canvas. The gallery is seeing and displaying all aspects of art, and it's really become a hub for a lot of people. And I think when the building on the hill closed, everyone was a bit downhearted, but luckily the new Sargent on the quay has really done its job, being right where it is, very accessible and central. And I think we'll be a bit sad to go back to the old one for a few seconds.
Whanganui's Mayor Hamish McDowell. Well, I visited the Sargent on the Quay, a brick building in the CBD, now offering climate-controlled storage for the Sargent's collection upstairs until the building's back open for business in a few years. There's also a gallery downstairs. Well, there I met curator Greg Johnson, who manages that gallery. That was after a look around the storage areas with curator Jennifer Taylor-Moore and director Greg Anderson. Well, this is amazing to come and see your storage area, temporary storage area, but it gives us a feeling for what it's going to look like in the new building because you've got new gear.
Yes, yes.
Just all the old gear in, eh?
Well, thanks to lotteries funding, we've been able to introduce a new storage racks and shelving. So all of our artwork are now easily accessible, and because of during the transition process of relocating all the artwork from the heritage building to this temporary location, we've been able to fully inventory every item and also locate them all accurately. So now we're able to respond very quickly to customer inquiry, visitor inquiries, and also just people walking in off the street and wanting to see a particular painting, which we wouldn't have been able to do before.
So it will take minutes, not weeks
to locate things. Yeah, we used to have minor panic attacks whenever we had to find things in the basement at Queen's Park, but that's no longer the case. But we've also been able to introduce new systems for protecting artworks and storage from the possibility of earthquakes. So we have sort of strapping across all the shelves and specialist hooks on the racks so that the paintings, if there is an earthquake, they won't jump off the racks. And a lot of those systems, I know other museums and galleries in New Zealand are working to implement them, but because we had moved our entire collection, we were able to implement them across the board through the entire collection. So we're one of the few collections in New Zealand who have been able to do that, and I know that Christchurch has done that as well.
Must make your heart feel good, though, to know that these items that you really treasure are safe.
Yes, they are. Yeah. And it's just such a joy to walk into the collection store now.
As opposed to a sense of panic.
I know, we've had some former staff walk in and just burst into tears because of, you know, the concern that the staff have had for how it was stored in the basement at Queen's Park and knowing that it's in a much safer place now and it will be even better once we move back to Queen's Park.
It's well stored here, but it's still, you know, there's not a lot of room to swing any cats, were you so inclined. But the area in the new redevelopment, when completed, will be substantially bigger than this.
Yeah, about probably three times this amount of storage space. So here was designed to just be a temporary place for 5 years approximately. And it was only designed to hold the volume of the collection that we have at the moment. And then the new store at Queen's Park, after the redevelopment, is designed to allow for future growth. So at the moment, yeah, we are still strapped for space, but we're in a substantially better position than we've been for many years.
All going well, Jennifer. When will you be looking forward to moving all of these 8,000 items back up to the Sergeant and unpacking? What's the time frame?
Very much depends on the progress with the building, but we're looking at maybe 2020, 2021.
Well, we're likely to be reopened late in 2021. Once the project is complete, with all the exhibitions in place and with staff in place and what have you. But it could be after that period, during and after that period, where we begin and complete the decanting process from down here to up there. Because when we open our main thrust at that point, we'll be installing ourselves up there and getting all the exhibitions ready, which will take up all of our resource. And then we can turn our attention to shifting the collection into its safe new environment up there from its temporary storage here.
In the meantime, you're making sure that the good people of Whanganui don't forget that they have a museum and art collection. That's incredibly important too, isn't it? Because these things can happen, you know, come out of the public consciousness. So we're in the building which is not only home to the storage area, but also you have gallery space and exhibitions here as well. And how's that been working?
Well, it was a really forward-thinking bit of action on behalf of the council to enable us to have this interim space, which needed to be big enough that it had worthwhile exhibition space, needed to be big enough to store the collection that we had, and also needed to be big enough to contain a classroom and also keep our shop. In short, we needed to keep our front-facing operation going at the same time that we did the fundraising for the redevelopment, so that we didn't have to close and shut up shop altogether and then risk losing all of our support. So the council, all credit to them for having the foresight to allow us to do this, because it's made an enormous difference to our ability to raise funds and stay within the public eye as well. And it also means too that now that our collection's down here and safe, that we can start getting it out into circulation again. While we can't get as much of the collection out as we like, it does come out very frequently and there's a lot of it. So it's a very good interim solution for us.
We're regularly also lending works to other museums and galleries in New Zealand as well.
So we're now going to head down and actually see the current exhibition, yeah?
Can I just quickly say one other area that kind of sets us apart, I feel, is our Tiley residency program, where we have an artist's residency.
I've interviewed quite a few of them over the years.
I can imagine you have.
Great.
And we have obviously limited acquisition funds, but it's a way for us to be able to collect contemporary work by current artists. But what's really special about it is while the artist is doing their residency, their sort of brief is to respond to the local community or the local landscape or local history, produce artwork about Whanganui and the region and the people. And so we have, at the end of the residency, there's an exchange that takes place where an artwork or a group of artworks is selected to enter the collection. And so it means that we've got this incredible growing body of work that's very specific to Whanganui and is telling stories about Whanganui and the history and everything. So I think that's something that kind of sets you apart, as that really strong regional component within the collection.
Greg, nice to meet you. How are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm fine. What a beautiful space.
It is a lovely space. So this brings together, it's a show called Riddle, Enigmatic Works from the Collection, some of which have just recently been entered into the building, which is terrific.
That one's making very disconcerting noises.
Yes, that's a new work by Andrew Drummond, Christchurch-based sculptor.
I thought it was like an earthquake registered. It feels a little bit like one of those machines that registers earthquakes, which is getting me slightly worried at one stage.
Quite a cryptic work. So what I wanted to do with this show is to bring together sort of works that do make the viewer sort of question what they're seeing or what they're experiencing, hence Riddle. But if we just come over here, and it's... that was... mostly inspired by a wonderful gift we've just received by the Auckland painter Mervyn Williams. So Mervyn has had a long association with us. He was at Tiley Cottage in 1988. So he was our third Tiley resident. And Mervyn came down here from Auckland, and it kind of changed his whole way of working, really. He was inspired by the river and gathered wood and made these amazing wood assemblages. But these are the paintings that Mervyn's most well known for, with this fantastic chiaroscuro technique where it looks three-dimensional but it's completely flat. So Mervyn's kind of mastered this over the course of his career, and is still as fit as a fiddle and is still making like there's no tomorrow. But he is at a point now where he wanted to be gifting works to galleries that he had made relationships with. So this is one of several that we're lucky recipients of. So we picked this up just late last year. It's called Crucible Bronze. So it's from 1993. And this is an earlier work that he painted called Six Blue Bars, which when it was acquired by the gallery caused quite a stir. It was featured. It was featured.
No nudity. No profanity.
Well, it was featured in the local paper. It was taken at quite a severe angle, 45 degrees, and black and white photograph, because it was in 1988, I think it was purchased. And people were just agog that we had purchased such a kind of weird, abstract, seemingly flat piece. But of course, as you can see in front of you, Lynn, you really need to see this work in the flesh to understand that it's a pretty remarkable and beautiful thing.
Well, this is the perfect angle, I think, because it's playing with...
pretty amazing. So, I mean, those bars look, you know, like they are very much raised, but they're only minorly raised.
Can I ask how much was paid for this work that got the fine people of Whanganui all upset?
It was quite a lot at the time. But it was a few thousand at the time, so it was a little bit controversial, but it's
gorgeous.
It's a cracker work.
Yeah, it is.
And an example of one of those relationships that the Sargents had for such a long time, where an artist has started or been here at a key point in their career, and then they've gone on to, you know, gift works to us or we've purchased. So we are really fortunate.
Yeah, so glorious.
That's the crux of Riddle, really.
So every few months you're bringing out works from the storage area.
Since I've been here, yeah, we try and always have a collection presence in our program. So half of the space will be given over to collection works where we can.
And members of the public come in and say, "Oi, you know that painting?
Yes,
I like that painting. I want
indeed.
To see that painting."
Or I saw Curiosity at the gallery when I was, you know, seven, and still remember it. Where is it now? And why haven't you got it out? So, of course, the redevelopment project will allow us to get all those older works out on a more regular basis.
Well, now it's all catalogued. It'll be much easier for you to find said works.
Yep, definitely, yeah. So we will
be able to. And I guess the response from people coming in is, as you say, it's just important for them to remember.
Yeah, definitely. And as Greg said as well, it's about maintaining that profile and people feeling like they have ownership of this place.
Which they do, which
we are really fortunate. And because of our history as well, you know, we're nearly 100 years old, that history is really deep in this place and nationwide as well, you know. A lot of people travel through and come and see us because they came here when they were a kid or, so it's a lovely thing. We're really lucky.
Greg Donson, well, Berlin-based expat photographer Connor Clark has just wrapped up her time as the Sargent's Tiley Cottage artist in residence.
Well, I've always been a fan of Whanganui, let's say. Whanganui has, or at least this residency, has quite a history of photographers coming, so I'm happy to be part of that tradition. I was here earlier last year, and then I decided I wanted to apply for the residency. So I was actually up river at Jerusalem, and I spent almost a week there, and I felt like I needed to come back to finish this project. I got a lot of ideas while I was there, and I also spent about a week here in 2008 driving around collecting images of the wooden fretwork from the old villas here.
I've never been to Jerusalem. What's it like in 2017, 2018?
It's very tranquil. There's more or less nothing to do there. I mean, you just relax. And we asked the sister there a few times, you know, can we do anything? You know, and she said, no, I want people to just come here and relax. So that's what we did.
It's a rare experience, really, for a busy artist. So you've taken ideas from that. Is that what you're working on now?
It was a combination of a few ideas I had because I live in Berlin, a few ideas I had while living in a big city, let's say, combined with a few ideas I had while staying in a very tranquil place. Yeah.
What can you tell? I know that I've dragged you away from shooting,
oh,
so you're a very good sport coming to talk to me this afternoon. But what are you working on and what are you shooting?
My plan on coming here was actually to do a project about fresh water. And it's sort of a response to Berlin life, let's say, a response to infrastructure. It's kind of, I wanted to talk about the different kinds of waters that flow throughout daily life. I kind of wanted to talk about these different categories that we put water into and using water as a metaphor for all nature. And whether that be, you know, nature as a concept, nature as a destination, let's say, the kind of nature that we romanticise, or that other kind of nature that we use and we tend to call a resource. I kind of wanted to talk about these categories a little bit, to use infrastructure or urban nature as a reminder why we long for nature in the first place. I like talking to people in cafes, in the street, by the river, and it's incredible what you can learn from people in the street.
Yeah. And what questions did you have for them?
All sorts of things. While I've been here, I'm quite interested in, or became quite interested in surveying, and the early surveying and mapping out of the town of Peter, or it used to be called Peter, early Whanganui, and also in the park down here on the riverside, there's one of the last remaining standard chain measurements in New Zealand, the surveyor's chain was used to measure out all of the plots of land throughout New Zealand. So this is one of the last remaining three. And so these kind of things I find out from people in the street saying, you know, what's that thing on the ground over there? And it turns out it's a standard chain measure that was laid in, I think, 1881.
This might be the hardest question I ask you, but could you describe for us one of the images that you've created here that speaks of your time in Whanganui?
Let's say, well, one I've actually just picked up my film from the gallery here that just came back from Wellington, and it's an image of, at someone else's hands because I was shooting it, but it's an image of two hands trying to hold some water out of the Whanganui River. So he's trying to scoop that water out of the... He's holding chain gloves, and they're from the EFCO Imlay plant, which is the freezing works, which is one of the early factories, let's say, on the river, and I borrowed them from there. They're boning knives, so they're to protect your hand from being cut. So the hands are wearing these boning gloves, these chain gloves, chainmail gloves, and trying to scoop the water, but of course the water is dripping through. You're not able to hold water. I shoot stills on film, on negative, colour negative.
There's not many of you left.
No, perhaps
no, using
not.
Negative. You could do digital if you wanted to, but what is it about film
I
enjoy?
Yeah, I really enjoy the process of shooting with film because I enjoy that it slows me down enough to really concentrate on what I'm doing. And I've tried digital. I started with film and then I went digital, but I just didn't enjoy the way I used the medium, let's say. I became a bit lazy. And with film, I tend to concentrate, slow down a little more. But also I like that mystery in between when you send it off and you get it back. And what you get back is, well, often not quite what I expect, but it often sends me new directions, and I really enjoy that about it.
I know, talking to painters, that water is damn hard to paint. Is it hard to photograph?
It is, because I think if you get it wrong, you can't repeat it again. It's always changing. It has each shot, it has its own personality, you know. It's like you could take one little piece of water and you could photograph it a million times and it would always look completely different, if that makes sense. It's endless possibilities. Yeah.
What camera do you use?
It's about the same age as me. It's a medium format Japanese camera. It's quite big. Mamiya RZ67, it's called. Yeah, so I can take 10 shots, which it sort of slows me down just enough to concentrate, but still allows me to take quite a few shots of something until I get it right.
10 shots?
Yeah.
I think that makes you very focused, actually, 10 shots.
It's good. It works for me, and I can still fit it in my backpack and get around on my bike, so it's not too heavy. It's manageable.
Photographer Connor Clark. And the photograph we talked about is part of a whole gallery of images you can see on the Stanley Rimoni webpage.